Okay, just before we start, just want to say, today we'll be preaching to the choir. Okay, so just make peace with that. So there's no condemnation intended, none at all. It's for all those watching us over the internet, but don't tell them. Okay, no, no condemnation intended there either. We've only got three verses. Now this follows on what Herman did last week. So this is just after the giving of the Ten Commandments. So Moses came down with the two tablets, and he's looking at these guys, and this is what we read. And said to Moses, and Moses told the people, okay, right, listen, you chaps, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And so this is where it falls in. Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. And those are just our three verses for today. Now, there's obviously, when I look at your faces, some of you were not paying attention last week when Herman did his scripture reading, which is fair. It's understandable. He's got a radio voice. I've got a voice that makes children cry or fall asleep, one of the two. But the thing was, you know the setting. So they came to Sinai, the mountain, and they had to prepare themselves for 3 days to cleanse themselves. And God appeared, and it was something that makes the New Year celebrations at Sydney Harbour look like child's play. It looks like a little match that gets lit. You know, there was lightning, thunder, trumpets. It was absolutely crazy. And this was done by God to say, I want to do two things. The first thing, reason why I want to do this, I want the people to experience my glory and for them to take their rightful position before me. That they will see, listen here, I'm not just the guy that you mess with. I'm not a little idol that you pick up, put in your tent and walk around with. You know, I'm not that. This is who I am. He literally wanted to put the fear of God in them. And then the second part was, he said to Moses, the part B of why I do this, I want to establish you as a mediator. Now what Haman did was absolutely amazing. He really did his homework, focusing on the mediator. You know, Moses is a type of Jesus. And it was this amazing description of how we are now able, because of Jesus, to come freely before the throne of grace. You know, he really did a good job. But those three verses follows when Moses stood before this awesome sight on the mountain, would speak to God, God would answer him, and Moses then walked straight into this stormy, cloudy, noisy, lightning, dangerous place. And there he received the Ten Commandments. When he came down, those three verses that we read, probably to my mind, the saddest three verses in the whole Bible. Because you see the birth of a religion. It was supposed to mean, this was supposed to be the place where God says, this is who I am. The people realize, okay, this God is awesome. Sin, not on the menu. Moses, you are the mediator. But in that moment, the people, because they were afraid, decided to redefine the role of a mediator. You see, a mediator, just like Jesus, just like Moses, mediator is supposed to open the door. Okay, so you get somebody who mediates, and you've got the lesser and the greater, and the mediator connects these two. He opens the way. That's what Jesus did for us. That's why Herman put, we can come before the throne of grace. That's what we can do. That's what a mediator is supposed to do. But the people, because they were scared, they go and they say, Moses, here's how a mediator should operate. You should be our buffer. You stand, you don't open the way for us. You stand between us and God. you protect us from God. He can speak to you, whatever he tells you, we will do, but we don't want to go in there ourselves. We're scared because if we're going to go in there, guess what's going to happen? We're going to die. We're going to be dead like a dodo, and we don't want that. So they chose to redefine, and it was not the establishment of a covenant. It was not the sense that you get the mediator, God giving him the authority or the glory of God displayed. It's the birth of a religion. And so when you look at this, and I'll speak about a religion just now to explain what the issue is around it. But the one thing that you realize, or the question that I had is why two such extremely different responses to the same event? Because you see, these people said, Moses, you're our buffer, you stay there, you go, you speak to God, we don't want to do anything about this. You're our buffer. Okay? And the question is, why did Moses turn and walk straight into the thing that the people thought were going to kill them? Why did he go in there and the people said, we want to keep our distance? Two very different responses, similar circumstances. Now, when you ask that question, in our time, day and age, we normally blame two things. We blame circumstances or a lack of knowledge. Those are our two mainstays. So, for instance, we would look at the Israelites and we go like, well, you know, different circumstances. Think about Moses. You know, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace. So he was used to magic and gold and he was well educated, those type of things. The poor Israelites, they were slaves. I mean, to say they had people tell them the whole time what to do, they were never allowed to think. So their circumstances. That's why you get this different response. Or some people would go like, lack of knowledge. You see, again, Moses was raised in the palace of Pharaoh, so he knew stuff. You know, and he's the one that saw God in the burning bush, or not God, the angel in the burning bush. I still wonder which angel lost that bet. That's the one that had to go and sit in the bush. But anyway, I don't know. Don't you guys think about questions like that? It really trickles my... It's sort of like I can spend hours wondering, I wonder which angel it was. Because can you imagine? You've got this little bush here, and here sits the angel in the bush. You know, and the bush looks like it's on fire. You know, I'm thinking to myself, Michael, if you dare laugh, I'm going to come up there and do something to you, something holy. I'm going to beat you. I'll just shut up now. But you would say, okay, Moses had better education, more exposure. That's why he's, and shame. I mean, say, look at the Israelites. They didn't have even have DSTV. You know, they were slaves. They had no education, nothing. So that's why there was this difference in response to the glory, to the manifest, awe-inspiring presence of God. And those are normally our two places that we go to say, okay, this is why you get the different responses. But it's not always that easy. Because if you think about it, and I don't want to get personal here, ladies, last month was Women's Month. But Eve knew that she was not supposed to eat the apple. She knew it. What did she do? She took a bite. In my case, just to equal this out, I know I'm not supposed to eat the cake. What do? I still eat the cake. It's not as though our amount of knowledge is the problem. Let me give you another example. So whom here, now I'm going to ask you to be, seeing that it's the 22nd celebration, today is the birthday of the UPCSA, I'm going to ask you to do something totally non-UPCSA, if there's a word like that, okay? I would like you to put up your hand. Whom of you know about the love of God? You need to put up your right hand. Okay, good stuff. I saw some people put up their left hands, and they were just like, okay. I was just messing. Okay, so all of you know about the love of God. If that is the case, we know about the love of God, then why do we worry? And why do we get afraid? Because you see, what is the amazing part is some of you can even quote Bible verses on the love of God. You can say, perfect love casts out fear. You know. I know the love of God. And then we will go to places like, sorry. My circumstances. Jakes, if you understood my circumstances, if you know where I come from, if you know what my parents did to me, you'll actually know that I'm doing brilliant with what I've got. You know, or some of us will say, but everybody does it. You know, even you as the most holy bishop, reverential minister, even you worry and have fear. So what's the issue? You know, or some of us will say, well, I just need to know the love of God more. I need to understand it better so it can settle in my heart. And, you know, that will drive out the fear. Problem is, you can know something that's not real to you. You can know something, but it doesn't become real to you. The night I first understood the forgiveness of sins, the night I experienced that for the first time, I jumped up. There were about 7,000. How many people? 7,000? And I ran like a maniac through 7,000 people. I was so excited. The joy, the thanksgiving, the just this, I am free, I'm forgiven. It takes judgment away. Very, very different from when we come to the communion table and we say, yeah, I know my sins are forgiven. Very, very different. You can know something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's real to you. And that was the difference. See, because the Israelites and Moses both knew things about God, for instance, his goodness, but Moses responded differently to it from the Israelites. For the Israelites, God was good, but that storm is big. So we're going to go in there, we're going to die. Moses, God is good, that storm is big, means there's an invitation to go deeper. So he went in because it was real. Now the question that I see on your faces is, okay, so how do you make it real? Well, good news, Baz. Philippians 2:13 tells us that it's God who works in us both to will and do his good pleasure. Okay, so it's God who does this in us, this job that he does, that changes inside of us through the working of the Holy Spirit, that makes us, that changes it from just knowing about something to something that is real. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. Né? So the logical question that Nolan will ask is, okay, so if that's the case, why don't the Holy Spirit just do it? You know, why does it just do it? Because, I mean, to say, all of us know that the life is like cake. You know you're not supposed to eat it, but you do. Paul wrote about this. All of us know this. What is going on here? Why don't the Holy Spirit just come and just do it? Okay, just knock. Did we take out the Bibles out of the pews? Okay, just want to make sure that nobody throws me with something. Okay? Well, if you throw, I respond very badly to 100 rand notes. Please, just let you know. So you can throw. Okay. So me and the stewardship team. Don't worry. So you can throw them as well. Should have made jokes like that. Anyway, okay. Come back. The Holy Spirit keeps office hours. Now I can see that you're going, what? No. You know, I sometimes need to explain something, to find words that make sense to us, that is not in the Bible, but that explains something that is true in the Bible. Well, the words office hours is something that all of you understand, because all of you have stood in front of a closed bank that you missed by 5 seconds. And the person just made that smug smile saying, oh, sorry, we're closed, we're closed. And they word it through the window. You know, you can still hear them, and they don't go like, we're closed. They go like, we're closed. And that's what happens. We've all been there, office hours. We've been the victim of office hours. But the point is this. We don't understand that we have to position ourselves for encounters with the Holy Spirit, the places where He can make knowledge become real to us. And if you position yourself so that the knowledge can become real, the really amazing part about it is when you start talking about it, you realize, but there's a predictability, there's a rhythm, there's a consistency to the places or the things that the Holy Spirit has given us, where He says, I'll meet you there and I'll make knowledge real to you. For instance, one of the places is church. Coming to church. Now, this is where you can just tap yourself on the shoulder and say, well done, I'm in church. Unlike the other people who's watching over the internet, you know, I'm here. But there is something. Hebrews 3:13, the writer of Hebrews says, he says, listen here, encourage one another daily, so that you don't fall into sin or that your hearts get hardened. Later on, he says, don't neglect the gathering of the saints, as some do. There's a reason why we are told to come to church. You know, now obviously, we need to keep safe. It's a reality. We have to be safe. The COVID is a thing. But also, let's be equally honest. And I can say this because you are all here. But some people have used COVID as an excuse. It's just, that's the reality. People say, oh, it's like me and my mask. I love the mask because it doesn't mean that means I don't have to brush my teeth always. It's like I can just put the thing up and walk, go to Pick and Pay. And nobody can smell my breath. It's brilliant. Okay, my eyes water the whole time because my breath stinks so much. But the point is this, we all use COVID as an excuse. Okay, and let's be honest about that. But one of the places where God changes what you know to make it real is here. Another place where He does that is in fellowship. Where we're supposed to meet daily. Now, for years, I've been here 8 years, and in 8 years we've been telling you guys, join a cell group. Join a cell group. If there's nobody that can lead a cell group, start a cell group. We'll try and help you. But join a cell group. Why? Because it's in the cell group where the Holy Spirit comes and makes something that you know become real. Over the last 3 weeks, if you've been listening, those are 4 weeks. 4 weeks. I haven't preached last week. The previous 3 weeks. In terms of the service, there were these other places of encounter, office hours. It's like, sit you, hey, you need to start doing the word. Work. You need to get back into the word. You need to get back into the word. That's an office hour. Spoke about prayer. Hey, you need to start praying. Listen, you're either going to start praying by choice or by force, but praying, it's in your future. You know, prayer is going to be in your future. So you can choose it, or you can be forced into it, but it's a place where the Holy Spirit makes what you know become real. Another one is worship. And if you think about it, coming to church, going to cell, spending time in the Word, spending, you know, taking time to worship, do you hear that there's a consistent rhythm? Do you hear that there's this place where, oh, if I go there, I'll encounter the Holy Spirit. Hence, office hours. The Holy Spirit keeps office hours. And what we're supposed to do is to position ourselves so that God can drop what we know and make it real. We're in a time where people are burned out on religion. Who of you know who Jonathan Edwards is? Any of you? Ooh, you charismaniacs. No. He was a Congregationalist minister. A guy that God used in the 1800s, 1700s, 18th century, mighty, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant preacher. God used him. He was part of a massive revival in America. But he was a Congregationalist, so he's sort of kosher. Okay? Ended up in Princeton. But with everything that he did, with all the success that he had, he could never understand why for certain people, certain people had a fakeness, a flakiness to them. Certain people had a depth, a weight to them. Why? And he always tried to figure it out. And towards the end of his ministry, he penned this where he said, there's a difference between a religious person and a Christian. There's a difference between a religious person and a Christian. And the difference is not obedience. See, a religious person obeys. They do everything and if you that they think God wants them to do. See, but the difference between a Christian and a religious person is that a Christian is enamored, captivated by the beauty of God. Whereas the religious person is driven by fear, doing stuff to protect him or herself. And on face value, looks both the same. Both obey, both read their Bible, both pray, both worship, bish. Both go to church. Those days they didn't have cell groups, but they both were close to the places where the Holy Spirit would meet them. But the one person didn't make it about God, wasn't captivated by the beauty of God. Like a Moses. Moses looked at the fire, the lightning, everything, and he saw that as an invitation. The Israelites looked at the fire, the lightning, everything going on, and said, oh crumbs, what do we do to protect ourselves? And that's the difference between religion and being a Christian. People are burned out on religion because it's got a form of godliness, but it's got no power. It looks like the real thing. But when you taste it, and when the opposition comes, it takes so much energy that people are burned out. Take a look around you and see how tired people are. You know what they're tired of? They're tired because they've confused being a Christian with religion. And there's a massive difference. So my encouragement for you and for everybody, I take it next week we're going to have zero people following us on Facebook or YouTube because everybody's going to have their knickers in a knot, which is fair and fine. If you've got any complaints, please address them to bobbyjohnson@gmail.com. Okay. I'm not sure whether that's his. You can make it bobbyjohnson123@gmail.com. Maybe it gets to him. We don't know. But the point is this. We're in that space, we're in a time where it's not what we know that's important. It's what is real to us is the crucial thing. And we need to position ourselves in the places where the Holy Spirit will encounter us so that that can become real, that the knowledge can become real. So come to church, or go to church. I should say to those people watching over the internet, go to church. Join a cell group. Make sure that you're part of a fellowship. If we're too slow in terms of forming a cell group, put pressure on Colin. You know, let him get stuff done. You know, because you've tried me and you failed miserably. I don't respond well to pressure. Spend time in the Word. Pray. Get to the place where you can worship. Because in those places, those office hours of the Holy Spirit, that's where what we know becomes real. Does that make sense? So I don't want this to become religious. where you do this now because you want to protect yourself. Yeah? And I don't want it to become a place of condemnation where you feel like, oh, another thing I have to do, not measuring up anyway. That's not the idea. The idea is you and I, if we position ourselves, have the invitation of the Holy Spirit to have that process of what we know become real. So I would like to pray for you now that you will hear and respond to the invitation to keep office hours with the Holy Spirit and that you will have knowledge become real to you. Can I pray for that for you? Okay. Thanks, Doug. You shook your head. That's all I need. I just need one. Just one. Okay. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we are being tested. Thank you that things out there in our lives are so tough at this point in time that it's becoming difficult to hide. And that you slowly but surely setting us free from the bondage of religion. And that you're inviting us into a deeper relationship with you. That you invite us, come up onto the mountain, come and speak, step into my presence, be like a Moses, come with boldness. And that's what we want to do, Father. We want to come with boldness before your throne of grace. But Lord, help us as we draw near to you to not make it something that we just do, but help us to hear your heart and your invitation. That we can hear how you invite us into you. And Holy Spirit, my prayer is that as we decide to position ourselves for an encounter, help us do that thing that only you can do. That you will make what we know become real to us. And that in that process, that we will discover the life where everything about this Christian life that it seems so daunting and overwhelming so often, that it comes together. So Holy Spirit, bless us as we position ourselves for an encounter with you. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.